As promised, we're joined right now by an NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, an NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston, a boxing analyst for DAZN, host of the Crossover Podcast and SI Boxing with Chris Mannix. In other words, my man is really busy. We are joined by Chris Mannix. Chris, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Nice to have you back. Let me get right at it, Chris, because there is so much to cover, and I know you're busy. It's been a lot of talk and focus on the Lakers and the Pelicans, and then the Clippers and the Sixers go out, and they make that monster deal, Chris, involving Tobias Harris. I want to get into the on-court details in a second, but purely from an ambition standpoint, what does that move say about Philadelphia and their plans? How big of a swing was that?
It's a pretty big swing because, you know, they can now boast one of the most talented starting lineups in the Eastern Conference. Now, I'm withholding judgment on how good they can be because I still want to see how all these pieces fit together. I think they still have some defensive deficiencies in that backcourt. And we all know that, you know, to win in the Eastern Conference, you're probably going to have to compete with Kyrie Irving and Eric Bledsoe and Kyle Lowry. How do they defend those guys? Tobias Harris going from, you know, a 20-point, 16-shot-per-game guy in L.A. to someone that's going to be in a far more reduced role in Philadelphia. How do they all mix together? But, look, it's a bold move by Elton Brand and that Sixer front office to really go for it this season, really over the next couple seasons with Tobias Harris.
I absolutely love it. I think you're right, though. We have to wait and see how the pieces fit because you're adding a huge piece in season in Jimmy Butler. And now Harris seems to be Chris Vanbrugh. He can make this thing work. It would be Brett Brown, but we have to see how it plays out. Now, they do give up some depth to get Harris. So what's that mean with Markelle Fultz? As an example, might they use the buyout market with him to add to or to deal with the depth and deficiencies there?
Well, they're definitely going to be active in the buyout market, hoping that, you know, wing players, versatile, multi-position guys will become available. Now, those guys are few and far between anyway, and there's going to be heavy competition amongst the top teams for top-tier buyout guys like Wesley Matthews, if he wriggles free in New York, or even DeAndre Jordan if the Knicks decide to cut him loose. But the Sixers will be players. I think a question, and we think we kind of know the answer to this question, but a question that's come up in the last, you know, 24 hours or 12 hours, really, are the Sixers ready to cut ties with Markelle Fultz? Fultz, you can't expect anything from him this year. He's been out too long, and even when he was playing, he wasn't right. You can't plug him in the final 20 games of the season and expect him to be a contributor in the playoffs. The question you have with the Sixers, who have been, in a lot of ways, passengers on this Markelle Fultz ride over the last year, are they ready to move on from him? And if they are, the market is still reasonably robust for Markelle Fultz. There are teams out there, point guard starved teams, that'll send you a decent role player, you know, whether it's Orlando with Terrence Ross or Washington with Trevor Ariza. There are teams that'll probably send you a decent role player in exchange for Markelle Fultz. Now, that'd be selling low for the Sixers because Markelle was the number one pick just a couple of years ago. But at this point, it's becoming more and more difficult to see how Markelle Fultz, if he can rediscover his former self, how he does it in Philadelphia.
The NBA trade deadline's tomorrow. Chris Mannix joining us to break it down. Chris, what about Kyrie Irving? Now, he said back in October that he would re-sign with the Celtics, and then last week he appeared to back off that. What do you make of his latest comments?
It was interesting. And it certainly surprised people within the Celtic organization. I had one of Kyrie's ex-teammates talk to me right after that, and he said that the Kyrie blow-up there, he felt it had little to do or less to do with dissatisfaction with Boston, even though the Boston season's been uneven and certainly not what he expected it to be back in October. But one thing this teammate told me that Kyrie hates is having his future attach the future of somebody else's. This is, after all, the player who forced his way out of Cleveland because he didn't want to play in LeBron's shadow anymore. The idea that Kevin Durant could somehow influence Kyrie Irving to go to New York, or Anthony Davis could convince Kyrie Irving to go to L.A. or stay in Boston, that's the kind of thing that Kyrie deems disrespectful. That was the opinion of this former teammate. So I guess it's just how you kind of interpret it. Now, some people can say he's down on Boston. Boston would respond, and has responded to me anyway, by, you know, insisting that they are on the same page with Kyrie Irving. They have been very transparent, very communicative with him. They have viewed the relationship with him as more of a partnership than kind of a team player dynamic. They've done everything possible, and they've been getting nothing but positive feedback from Kyrie Irving about his future there. So it would have behooved Boston if they had just said, yeah, I said what I said back in October, refer to that. But I still believe they're confident that Kyrie Irving wants to be there.
We're talking to Chris Mannix. One more thought about that. So what do you think Danny Ainge has made of how the season has played out overall with the return of Kyrie and Gordon Hayward?
It's been disappointing for everybody. And, you know, look, they expected some bumps along the way. They didn't expect this. And maybe they should have. I mean, those young players, everybody talked about sacrifice in the preseason. But it's not easy to go from being a 35-minute-per-game player who was one game away, you know, a quarter away from going to the NBA Finals with a 3-2 lead on the Cavaliers in the NBA Conference Finals, to go from that type of role to a lesser one, that's been a lot tougher to adjust to than anybody within the Celtics thought. Couple that with the fact that Gordon Hayward is still a fraction of his former self. He had some good games, like he had last night against Cleveland. He had a 35-point game in January, triple-double in January, but it's just a roller coaster ride with him. So they've been frustrated, but they have noted, Jim, and if you look at the way they've played, the month of January was a great month for Boston. They're only three games back of the number two seed in the Eastern Conference with plenty of time to make up that gap. So it's been frustrating for that front office and the coaching staff, but there's a lot of time left for them to change things up.
Chris Mannix joining us for a few more moments. And then, of course, Chris, you've got Anthony Davis, who is the biggest piece in all the trade talk. AD's made it pretty clear he does not want to go to Boston. What do you think that Ainge makes of that? Would that dissuade him from trying to make a move for Davis this summer?
Here's the thing, Jim. The Celtics would disagree with the premise of your question. Like, what they would say is that Anthony Davis himself has never told them he doesn't want to go to Boston. He has submitted lists of teams that he would go to and sign extensions with, and there is no question that opening up this whole process 2 weeks before the trade deadline was designed to get him to the Lakers. But there's a difference between having a preferred team and a team you would sign with. And from the statement that Rich Paul, his agent, made at the beginning, saying Anthony Davis wants to win championships, to the statements that Davis made in his first post-trade request press gaggle a couple of days later, he consistently says, it's my time. I want to find ways to win. And the Celtics believe that they offered the best chance for Anthony Davis to win. Moreover, they know he has a strong relationship with Kyrie Irving, and they believe that if they can acquire Anthony Davis, Kyrie will stay, and that will convince Anthony Davis to ultimately stay. And as you've noticed, Jim, like, initially it was Anthony Davis wants to go to the Lakers, and all of a sudden the Knicks are involved. Now it's the Clippers and Bucks that are thrown into that mix. How long past the deadline before Anthony Davis, you know, decides it's okay if he goes to Boston? I think the Celtics, the bottom line with all this, the Celtics believe that Anthony Davis is not opposed to going there. He may not have fully embraced it at this point, but they believe he's not opposed to it.
Well, all the more reason, Chris, that the Lakers need to get this done if they possibly can. So what do you make of the package that they reportedly have been offering the Pelicans for Anthony Davis? And if you were Dell Demps, would you give it serious consideration or no?
I think the question Dell Demps has to answer is, will Jason Tatum be in a package from the Celtics? Now, I reported yesterday that the Celtics have not directly dangled Jason Tatum. They haven't said to the Pelicans, you hold off, Jason Tatum's in the deal. Number one, because they can't. Like, because if they make that offer and something happens with Tatum where he averages like 30 in the postseason and they don't want to get rid of him, they have no credibility. They have to follow through with that offer or lose a lot of credibility around the league. Moreover, the Celtics are going to try to convince the Pelicans first to take some kind of Jaylen Brown-centric offer replete with all their draft picks. But Dell Demps has to decide, you know, this Laker offer, it's pretty good. You've got multiple first-round picks. You've got good young talent. But will that Laker offer be there on July 1st? Most executives I've talked to believe it will be. Will that Boston offer trump the Laker offer? A lot of executives I talk to believe it ultimately will. I think they have to decide, are they willing to swallow 3 or 4 uncomfortable months with Anthony Davis for the possibility of getting a bigger package in a trade come July 1st? And really, Jim, you kind of have to wait, don't you? I mean, this is the biggest trade in the history of the franchise. This could yield the most substantial return in NBA history. That's how good Anthony Davis is, and that's how appealing the trade package should be. They've got to make sure they maximize every single inch of it.
Well, I agree. I think you have to wait. I think if you're Dell Demps, you have to wait. You know, Chris, you make the point that will the Lakers deal still be there in the summertime? Probably so. I got another question for you. Tatum. If Tatum is dangled right now, allegedly, reportedly, will he still be on the table come summertime, or might Ainge rip that part away?
Well, this is why Ainge and the Celtics have not directly dangled him, because if they do that, they know there's no going back. I will tell you from talking to people within the organization, they understand that this could come down to Jason Tatum. And put it another way, I don't think Jason Tatum and their unwillingness to deal him will hold up this deal. Now, if the Pelicans say we have to have Tatum, the Celtics might relent, but they're also going to turn around and say some of these other assets got to come off the table. You can't have 4 first-round picks if you're going to take Jason Tatum. So there's going to be some extensive negotiating on all this. But Jason Tatum, I don't believe, based on what I'm told, that Tatum's, the unwillingness to put Tatum in a deal will hold up something like this.
So I got about a minute left. Where do you think Anthony Davis is going to be playing at the start of next season?
It's just guessing at this point, Jim. It really is. But I've long believed that if Boston got a real opportunity, they won't get outbid. They have been waiting for this guy for the better part of 18 months. They have been researching him. He is why they didn't go all in on Kawhi Leonard. He is why they didn't chase Jimmy Butler. They have been waiting on Anthony Davis for a long time. I don't think they get outbid one way or the other. And it's just guesswork. I don't think they'll lose out on Anthony Davis.
He is an NBA writer for Sports Illustrated, an NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston, a boxing analyst for DAZN, and host of the Crossover Podcast and SI Boxing with Chris Mannix, and absolutely locked in. Chris, great job. Appreciate it so much.